you know, I think it's important that we all find out what drives, inspires, and motivates us. You know, and when we find it, I think it's important that we write it down. So each morning I'll read a devotional book. I've been reading the same devotional book for the last 4 years by Tony Dungy, Uncommon Daily Life Challenge. He used to be the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, obviously won a Super Bowl. And I have a note card in there. On one side, it has hashtag Team Tiff. That's what drives, inspires, and motivates me. You know, every day that I do that devotional and I look at hashtag Team Tiff, I remember, yes, I want to emulate the life that she lived for all those years and the battles that she fought, because I can be the best teacher, the best coach, son, brother, father, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing I think it's important for people to find is find a word that will keep you locked in and focused. And for me, it's passionate.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients, proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. Today, we have Rob Baer, who is known for instilling the importance of fitness at an early age as a gym teacher, propelling athletes to their fullest potential as a high school track and field coach, and inspiring the readers of his book, Braving Your Adversity. Coach Baer, welcome to episode 1 of the American Grown Podcast.
Austin, it is great to be here. Thank you so much for having me today.
Awesome, Coach. So I got to ask, how was practice today? I assume you just came from track and field practice.
Just came from track and field practice. As you remember in your high school days, two of the best hours you can spend any day, any month, any year. So we had a great practice today. We're getting ready and raring to go for some exciting meets coming up in the future.
Excellent. And another question, do you still do BBA, Building Better Athletes? I gotta know.
That is a great question. So you remember BBA, Building Better Athletes, pretty challenging, pretty tough, plyometric work, strength work. We have gotten away from that a little bit. We do a couple other things differently, but in the wintertime, we still do BBA, but in the springtime, we do some other things.
Okay, you're not getting soft on me.
I'm right? not okay, getting good, soft. Good, hey, you good. Remember, these are the days that champions
yes,
are made.
I do remember that very well. So this Saturday, April 30th, is Lebanon County Track and Field Meet. How's the team looking, and how do you think they'll do against the local competition here?
Yeah, so we know that the Lebanon County Championships is the first meet in a series of meets that we call big meets. You know, it starts with the Lebanon County Championships, six great schools here in Lebanon County getting together for a track and field meet. Everybody brings their own style. Everybody brings their own talent and their toughness to it. So we're excited about this Saturday. The Palmyra boys are really, really good. They bring a lot of speed to the table. They can jump, they can throw, they can hurdle. So we know that they will be a great challenge. And on the girls' side, Palmyra does some things really well. Anvil girls, Elko girls. So it should be a great meet. They're talking 66 degrees and sunny with no wind. We'll take it.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be very nice. I know today was, I think, up to 20 mile per hour winds or something for practice.
Yeah, yeah. We like to run when the wind's at the back.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So, you know, Coach Bear, take me. And for those that don't know, yes, I graduated from Cedar Crest in 2011. And Coach Bear was the head coach and still is a head coach at Cedar Crest. I learned a lot and have a lot of respect for you as a coach and what you've been through and how you handle yourself. The instillness that you pass down to other athletes, I think is phenomenal.
Well, I tell you what.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to do those things without guys like you. I mean, I can still remember you being a team captain for us back in 2011.
Yeah.
And you walked around that field house locker room every single day and asked every single kid, how you doing? Let's go. Let's have a great practice. That's what it's all about. That's what leadership is. Leadership is the act of making a difference. You were a great leader for us. You instilled those qualities in the people that graduated after you, and it's still going to this day. So thanks for everything you did.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Coach. Yeah. No, I definitely enjoyed my time at Cedar Crest Track and Field. It was a lot of fun. So I want to kind of throw it back or go back to your early childhood, your early life, and, you know, what kind of made you the person you are today?
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I did not like to work out.
Really?
Didn't like to be outside, didn't like to work out. You know why? Because I grew up on a dairy farm.
Okay.
So I quickly learned the importance and the value of hard work, saving a dollar. My father taught me those two very important qualities, characteristics, hard work and saving a dollar. My mom taught me everything else that I learned. So I grew up on a dairy farm. We milked 84 black and white Holstein cows.
Wow.
Long summer nights, cold early morning winters, you know, milking those cows. So back in the day, I didn't realize how lucky I was to grow up like that. But looking back on it, I wish every child had an opportunity to learn hard work like that. Mm-hmm. Because I think the world would be a better place if everybody learned the value of hard work. So yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't enjoy working out. I had an older brother, Mike Bear, 5 years older than me. He started wrestling. Once he started wrestling, I thought, you know what? I'll start wrestling too. He's always been my hero. I've always looked up to him, and everything he did, I wanted to try and do just as good, if not better than he did. He motivated me and picked up wrestling in upper elementary school and then started running in high school. And the rest is history. I just kept running and running and running.
So early on, you became very competitive with your older brother.
I did.
And strive to be the best you could be, but also maybe better, you know?
Yes, that was exactly the goal. I don't know if I've ever gotten better than Mike, but certainly he's been a great role model and inspiration for me.
So back then, and kind of fast forward to a little bit, in high school and college, were there any kind of role models, teachers, coaches that you might have had that helped, again, get you to where you are now or you've learned from?
Absolutely. So I went to Northern Lebanon High School. The teachers there inspired and motivated me to become the best person I could be. When I went to college, I was a chemistry major. And after about a year and a half, I thought, you know what? I don't want to spend my time in a lab the rest of my day. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I want to get out and be around young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to try and be a difference maker. So I thought, you know, one of the best ways to do that is to be a teacher and to be a coach. And fortunately, I was able to change my major to health and phys ed. And was able to get a job here in the county in the Cornwall-Lebanon School District, teach at Ebenezer Elementary School. And I just had such great role models, not just in high school, but in college. My professors, my wrestling coach, my track and field coach, my cross-country coach, they were who I wanted to try and emulate. And they motivated me on a daily basis. So I had a lot of great role models growing up, but none more important than my parents and, of course, my brother Mike.
Okay, and your parents, I know a little bit, Hershey Bear.
You got it. That name will never be forgotten. Hershey Bear.
That is a great name. That is a great name. Was there any kind of life advice or mantra that he passed on to you, whether it was at a young age or maybe even in college?
Yeah, you know, when I was in college and I was changing my major, I told my dad before I changed my major, hey, Dad, I'm ready to come home. I don't want to be a chemistry person. I'm ready to come home and work on the farm and take over the family farm one day.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the word I'm trying to look for, maybe mature enough and smart enough to say, you know what, Rob, let's go to Messiah College, get your degree and see if you want to farm after you got your degree. But deep down inside, he had to know if I finished college and I got my degree that I probably wasn't going to be a farmer. So I think the thing that I take from my father, other than the value of hard work and saving a dollar, was just that he swallowed his pride or just allowed me to pursue what I wanted to do in life rather than making me be a farmer and take over the family farm. So I'm really happy that he guided me in that direction, because had he not done that, I wouldn't have been able to have so much fun the last 30 years teaching and coaching students.
What advice do you have? Because you're involved heavily in with high school students, athletes, and college athletes, you know, that have moved on from mm-hmm. Cedar Crest Track and Field. So what advice would you have for them, whether it's life advice or maybe something to get through college if they're having a tough time?
You just gotta stick to it. And there's going to be tough days. There's going to be challenging days. And we'll get to this in a little bit about Tiffany and her life. But anybody can do it on the easy days. You know, when that sun is shining and you feel like a million bucks and you're well rested, anybody can do it on those days. Those days don't tell you a whole lot about yourself, but it's on those days that are tough and those days that are challenging, and whether you might be sick or tired or you're stressed down or whatever it might be, you're anxious about something, those are the days you have to reach deep inside the well and pull up the best version of yourself. So when it gets tough, you know, that's when the tough get going, and that's when you have to rise to those challenges.
Yes. No, I couldn't agree more. So after college, you got your first coaching job at Cedar Crest High School. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how did you earn that?
Yeah, so when I graduated college, for the first year I had to substitute. So I was actually coaching back at Northern Lebanon. I was a volunteer cross-country coach and I was an assistant track and field coach. But unfortunately, they didn't have any job openings for the next year. And fortunately, the Cornwall Lebanon School District did. And, you know, you got to take the jobs when they're available. As much as I would have loved to have coached and taught at my alma mater, Northern Lebanon, with Jim Weaver, who was my coach back there. Great, great, great man. He taught me everything I need to know about coaching. I was fortunate enough to get into the Cornwall Lebanon School District, and the rest has been history.
Yeah. And how long have you been coaching? I'm not good with math.
Head, so the fall of 91, so this is the 31st year.
Wow. 31st year. Wow.
I got a lot of gray hairs, Austin.
So Cedar Crest got lucky. They got a great coach with you. So I wanted to also kind of, like you said, bring up Tiff, your wife, and her 15-year battle with stage 4 cancer. I briefly remember I was in 7th grade, came out for track and field as a thrower, and I believe she had came down to talk with us and yourself, you know, kind of a motivational talk. And, you know, get the kids engaged and fired up and excited about the upcoming junior high track season, because again it was in middle school, and I think I first met Tiff and yourself.
So tomorrow is the day before the Lebanon County Championships, and Tiffany would always come speak to the high school team the day before the Lebanon County Championships, and she would just remind them things like, never give up, don't ever give up. And if you're nervous, it's okay. That's because it means something to you. And it was just good getting another voice in there for the kids to hear and someone to see, because they could just look at her and they could tell that she was going through chemotherapy. She was battling tough times. And with the breast cancer that had eventually spread to other locations of the body, like the lung, the brain, and the liver, you know, kids could really relate to what she was going through, you know, the challenging and difficult times. And if she's telling them, hey, never give up, don't ever give up, it's a little bit more impactful coming from her rather than coming from me. And then she would always share the story, or I would always share the story about how we first met back in 2000, and the kids always got a kick out of that.
Okay. So how did you first meet, for all our listeners out there that might
It was Cinco de Mayo, 2000, May 5th. Long day of teaching, long day of coaching, and my friends were going out to the Bluebird.
Okay.
It was the first night the deck was going to be open for the summer, and oh man, I had gone home and mowed the lawn then. I was tired. I didn't feel like going out. Something got me to go out that night. Met my friends there, and one of my buddies from high school walked over and said, hey, you should come over and have a drink with my fiance and her cousin Tiffany.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay, maybe I'll come over. No, you should really come over. Well, give me a little bit of time. So he walked away. So I kind of leaned back in my chair, and I just wanted to see what I was getting myself into. And I looked down the row, and I see this beautiful blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a thing for blondes. Anyways, I see this beautiful blonde. I think, oh, man, I got no chance with a beautiful girl like that. And all my buddies at the gazebo are like, if you don't go over there soon, Rob, yeah. I'm going to go over there. So to make a long story short, I had a couple, as I always told you guys in high school, ice waters to try and relax me. We know it was an ice water.
Yeah.
So after a few of those ice waters, I worked my way over and we talked and I asked her for her phone number and she gave it to me at the end of the night. I wanted to call her the next day so bad. I was so smitten by her, but I waited the customary 3 or 4 days like I'm supposed to, asked her out, and within 6 months we were engaged and the next year we were married.
Wow. So did she ever say what, when you first came over to her and introduced yourself, did Tiff ever say what she thought about you? Or
I could tell you this.
Were you smooth?
I probably was not smooth, but I could tell you this. From the moment I laid eyes on her, I knew there was a chance that she might be the one. She needed a little bit more convincing than I did.
Gotcha. And then, so what was life like with Tiff, and then you had your son Zach, and also Matt. How was that, and how did the boys, you know, take finding out about cancer? And I mean that impacts the whole family for sure.
Sure. So for the first couple of years, we were good to go, and then after Tiffany had Zach, her cancer showed up about a year after that. We went through the chemotherapy, the radiation, the surgeries, things like that. We got to the 5-year cancer-free mark in 2010, and we thought, okay, this is it. We are cancer-free. Typically, you get to that point, 95% of cancers don't come back. Mm-hmm. And within 22 days, that's when they found the mass in the occipital lobe. The breast cancer had moved to the brain. So she lived 9 years after the cancer had moved. They call that stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And she would just battle, and she would be tough. And I can just remember looking at her, especially the last few years of her life, and I would look at her before I went out the door each day and think, if she can do what she's doing, if she can battle this dreaded disease, I can certainly go be the best teacher, the best coach, the best father, and the best husband I can be. If she can do that, I can easily do what I need to do on a daily basis. Yeah. And do it with a positive attitude.
Yeah, from what I remember with Tiffany, she'd always have a smile, at least when I saw her at the track and field meets, you know, back in high school. And you know, to know a little bit at that time what she was going through, but of course, you're a high school athlete, high school student, you know, you don't really have an understanding of the impact and you know, what it was for the family. So when you found out, when you first found out, and as you were battling with Tiffany, you know, how did faith, hope, and courage help you and help the family?
Those were her three big words. And when I wrote the book, we actually put that on the front cover. You know, how to brave your adversity with hope, faith, and courage. Tiff was always hopeful. If there was an oncologist, a doctor that didn't give her hope, because we had a couple times during those 15 years that the doctor said, hey, there's not much we can do anymore, she would go get a second opinion. She would refuse to accept the fact that her life was going to be cut super, super short. I remember when she had the brain cancer and we were all crying around the hospital bed thinking that she's only got a couple months to live. She had everybody stop. She said, everybody needs to stop crying. The Lord is not done with me yet. I'm going to outlive all of you, and I'm going to be here to see Zachary graduate. While she didn't see Zachary graduate, she lived another 7 years after that with stage 4 cancer. So she always needed to hope. She had a strong faith. She's a believer. As she loved the Lord with all her heart. So we clung to Bible verses. Jeremiah 29:11 was really big. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Okay. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope in a future. And of course, she was courageous. You know, there's a quote that goes something like, fate whispered to the warrior, you cannot withstand the storm. The warrior whispers back, I am the storm. That was Tiffany. She was the storm. And she was the one that was so courageous and so brave. So we really lived off those three words for 15 years.
With tying into that, you know, yourself going through this on a personal level, you know, you had to be very courageous and always put on, you know, the best foot forward, let's say.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think maybe it helped, because I saw here an avid runner, 45,000 plus miles logged.
You got it.
I don't know if you have more than that yet.
Yeah, so I'm approaching 46,000 next 2 weeks.
So do you think the running, I know you'd started, it sounds like you started that early in your
Absolutely. 1986.
1986. Yeah. Did that become an emotional outlet for you? And when you run, did you think of things, or was it more just the peace?
Yeah. So for me, I just needed exercise. Because if I didn't get that exercise, I couldn't get my emotions out. I couldn't get my anger out. I had a lot of anger for a lot of time. But I didn't want Tiffany to see that, because I didn't want anything affecting her fight. So during those runs, during those bike rides, during those weightlifting sessions, that's when I got it all out. And at the end of that time, they're going, okay, now I'm going to go be the best possible caregiver I can be for Tiffany. So that's... And I still use that to this day. It helps me get through every day because I miss her. Every day I think of her. Every day I miss her. I know she's in a better place. Right. I know she suffers no more. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I miss her.
So you mentioned being angry. Did that fueled your run?
Yeah, angry at the fact that someone who was so kind, so sweet, my soulmate, my partner, my best friend had to go through that, you know. It took a long time to realize that Tiffany and I's plan wasn't the same as God's plan and his plan. So his plan was for us to spend 20 years together, and she was the best possible coach's wife or spouse anybody could ever ask for. And I hope I was at least a good enough caregiver for her to help her through her challenging and difficult times. So yeah, that's kind of how that all worked out.
Well, I'd say you were a coach for sure.
Thank you.
And I do believe that everything happens for a reason, whether we like it or not, or, you know, whether it's in our plans or not, there is a higher power for sure. Guiding us as you're running and you're setting these goals, how do you personally go about setting goals, whether it's for the upcoming track season, or your running, or just life in general?
I think goals is all about being consistent. You know, I had seen something on Twitter at the change of the year on, you know, January, and how people aren't setting goals anymore because they're not achieving them and things like that. I'm thinking that's the wrong attitude to have. You have to set goals. You have to be consistent. You have to be consistent in your desire to be great. You want to be a difference maker. You can be a difference maker in every situation in your life, whether it's being a spouse, a brother, a sister, a teacher, a coach, a coworker, a workout partner at the gym, your church, your team, whatever it might be. You know, set those goals, challenging yourself to be the best you can be. We continue to set goals with the high school track and field and cross country teams, and we're going to do it for the rest of my coaching career, that's for sure.
So to go back to hinted at, a lot of New Year's, everyone makes their resolutions, but they don't follow through, whether it's eating better or cutting out soda, drinking less, whatever, maybe working out more.
Now, did you say cutting out soda? Because you know that's my vice.
Well, I just found that out today for everyone listening. I didn't know Coach Bear drank soda, so that was a shock. I'm not going to lie. But I just wonder why you think that is. You know, and then it seems like less people now are committing to that because, like you said, they're not going to do it. But why is it? Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a good question, and I can't find that out. But if I would have to guess, you know, I think it's important that we all find out what drives, inspires, and motivates us. You know, and when we find it, I think it's important that we write it down. So each morning I'll read a devotional book. I've been reading the same devotional book for the last 4 years by Tony Dungy, Uncommon Daily Life Challenge. He used to be the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, obviously won a Super Bowl. And I have a note card in there. On one side, it has hashtag Team Tiff. That's what drives, inspires, and motivates me. You know, every day that I do that devotional and I look at hashtag Team Tiff, I remember, yes, I want to emulate the life that she lived for all those years and the battles that she fought, because I can be the best teacher, the best coach, son, brother, father, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing I think it's important for people to find is find a word that will keep you locked in and focused. And for me, it's passionate. It's important for me to be passionate about what I do. If I lose my passion for teaching or coaching, I don't want to be average or mediocre or so-so. Let's challenge ourselves to be the best that we can be. So find what drives, inspires, and motivates you. Write it down. Look at it every single day. And find a word that can keep you locked in and focused. And I think that'll help a lot.
Understood. And when you say hashtag Team Tiff, I saw your pink bracelet. Yes. I remember getting one or having one. Is that something do you still sell those? I forget what the...
So we still give those to kids on the team.
Okay.
In fact, I just ordered 200 more today because we ran out.
Yeah.
And this is This will be the last team that ever heard Tiffany give a talk.
I was just going to say.
So they were freshmen when she passed away. Okay. So after this, pretty much no one on the team will ever have heard her speak. No one on the team will ever have met her. But hopefully through the book and through the pink wristbands, the kids wear pink headbands in the relays, and through my talking of sharing about Tiffany, hopefully her legacy will live a lifetime.
Right, and then you'll continue to spread awareness.
Exactly.
To the future athletes as well.
Exactly.
Earlier on, you mentioned your motto, never give up, don't ever give up. I think it's so profound. What is the drive behind that? Can you go in a little bit more about
that?
Sure.
Yeah, so 1993, Jimmy Valvano, coach of the North Carolina State basketball team, that was his motto, never give up, don't ever give up. So we adopted that, and it's stuck to this day, and it'll stick forever. And I also recently read something somewhere, you know, always show up, never give up. Anything is possible. You are unstoppable. So that's kind of the new thing that we're sharing with the team this year. Hey, just show up, compete, do the work, never give up. And then anything is possible. You can do anything you want. All you got to do is make up your mind and you can do it. You are unstoppable. So we kind of went with that never give up theme from Jimmy Valvano when he passed away from cancer in 1993.
And I think just showing up is half the battle, you know, yeah. Whether it's waking up early for a workout or, you know, staying maybe up a little late studying. I think, you know, just that showing up and being present in the moment goes a long way. So I wanted to bring up your book, Braving Your Adversity, because I believe it's been out now for about a year.
Yeah, it's been out a year. It's hard to believe.
So can you go in a little bit about how that all came about? Was it your idea? Was it her idea? Like, who said, hey, I want to write a book?
Yeah, so after Tiffany passed away, I finally got my own Facebook account. I always lived vicariously through her. She would always tell me, get your own account. No, I'll just live through yours. And then I would comment on her. And she'd be like, you can't be commenting on my Facebook post. Anyway, so I finally got my Facebook post. I was just sharing stories here and there about whether it's coaching or her. And people would just say, you should write a book. And then COVID hit. And I wasn't teaching. I wasn't coaching. That was going to be a really, really good boys track and field team. And, you know, pretty sad, pretty bummed out. I thought, you know what? I am going to write a book. This will be the best way that I can honor Tiff's life. So when I wrote the book, it's not just a story about her or our life together, but it's a story to help anyone brave their adversity, no matter what that adversity might be. So yeah, it shares her message of hope, faith, and courage, but at the same time, it's a self-help book to help people through their most challenging and difficult days.
So you could say COVID was kind of the perfect storm.
It was,
it gave
yeah.
you an opportunity to sit down and honor her and write this book. Do you have a favorite chapter in the book, one that you'd recommend readers read?
Yeah, so one part that I really love about the book is I had a hard time with wedding rings and not losing them.
Okay.
And I lost my first wedding ring, tried to keep it from Tiff. I'm not a good liar. She knew something was up. I said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I think I accidentally threw it away. Instead of a piece of trash, I think they threw their wedding ring away. So she buys me another one. Of course, I lose that second one. We were down at the beach. I dropped it in the sand and Zach, Tiff and I are down in the sand trying to find it, can't find it. So I just looked at her and said, honey, you don't have to buy me another wedding ring. I'm with you forever. You're with me forever. You don't have to do it. She buys me the third wedding ring. Now, the first wedding ring, the inside of it was inscribed, love you forever. That was kind of our little thing. We always told each other, love you forever. The second wedding ring was inscribed, love you forever. The third wedding ring, don't lose this one.
Is that what it was? That's great. Oh, my gosh.
But that was her. That was her. She was fun. She kept life enjoyable. And believe it or not, I haven't lost that one.
Wow. Oh, that's phenomenal. I saw inside the book, then you have some photos of Tiffany and yourself and, of course, the kids. What was that like bringing the book together? Emotional roller coaster, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, I wrote that book in 4 months.
Four months.
It was like Tiffany was sitting on my shoulder. I started on June 1st, finished on October 1st, the writing part of it. And then there's a lot of other parts you have to do. And it was like she was just sitting right there on my shoulder, write about this, tell them about this, encourage them to do this. And I would write a chapter a week and I would share it with my writing coach and he would make some corrections and help me through it. And the toughest parts of the book, obviously the toughest chapters were writing about the last few months. And when she passed away, I needed to take a week or two off after writing those chapters. But it was like she was sitting on my shoulder and she was just telling me what to write.
I'm sure she was watching over and helping you through the book and getting it completed. I will say you probably have one of the best headshot photos in
there. I had a really good photographer. Thank you. Those of you who don't know, it was Austin. It was Sully who took that picture.
Coach Bear came into our studio here on 9th Street at Color Tech or Blue Cardinal Photography, and we got to take that photo. I photographed in Lincoln Financial Field and Madison Square Garden, Papa John Stadium. But that's one of my favorite photos.
Yeah, I love it.
Not even kidding. I'm not kidding. That's one of my favorites. So as you're writing the book, you know, and you had those moments where, hey, I need to take a break. I need to, just take a break from it all. I got to ask, how do you stay so positive in adverse times? Because you've been through a lot, but yet you raise great kids. You coach, you know, phenomenal track athletes, and you're always so positive and so upbeat. You know, you always have a smile on yourself. I don't think I've ever seen you frown or upset, you know.
You know, you go into each and every day, there's two things that you can say. You know, I have to go or I get to go. So if you take the negative approach, I have to go to work today or I have to do this today. But if you take the approach of I get to go to work today, I get to see this person or that person today, it's a big, big difference. You know, I get to teach 100 students every day. And then the next day, it's a different 100 students. Through the course of a 5-day week, you know, you see 500 plus kids. And then I get the opportunity to coach kids on a daily basis, some of them throughout the entire school year. I'll just give you one example, and it's not all me. It always has to go back to the person. At the beginning of this track season, we had a boy on the team that was failing 5 subjects, almost every single subject. And within a matter of 3 weeks, he got it down to just 1 subject so he could be eligible, so he could compete. And he's still doing well, and he's still eligible, and he's competing. And that's just one example of a success story. And it's not because of me. You know, I say things, but they're got to be the ones to do it. But that young man is around 50 other boys that are positive, and they bring the juice, and they bring the hype, and they bring the energy and the positivity to practice every day. It's probably one of the only times in this young man's life that he's been around people like that for an extended period of time. And look what it's done for him. And that's what it's all about. You know, make those changes, make those positive changes, be the best person you can be a difference maker. And I certainly hope he makes it through the rest of this year.
That's phenomenal. That's loved like it. A total turnaround, and good for him.
Yes,
like,
good for him.
And hopefully, you know, his fellow athletes and are supportive, and it sounds like they are,
because
it goes a long way. You know, if you're a famous quote, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yes.
If you want to go far, you go together.
Exactly.
And I think that's so important, whether it's work-related, school-related, or sports. I think it's true.
I love that quote. We just used the quote last week when we had our big showdown with Manheim Township and McCaskey. You know, as we may be strong as individuals, but as a team, we are invincible.
Wow. Yeah.
Be a team.
That's it. For sure. So now, Coach, how can our listeners connect with you and kind of follow along on your journey?
Yeah, so I'm out there on Twitter and Facebook. If you go to Facebook, just search Rob Bear. Twitter, it's at Coach Bear, at Coach _ Bear. And Instagram, it's at Coach Bear. So you can check those things out. If anybody would ever be interested in ordering the book, if they just go to bravingyouradversity.com, or they can go to amazon.com and they can search Braving Your Adversity and they can find it that way.
Perfect. Yeah, I have my hard copy here in the studio. I have read through the first chapter, and of course, you know, it is an emotional read, but it's definitely well worth it. And there is some bits of knowledge that I think people can take to better themselves and their livelihood. Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about yourself, or anything I missed?
You know, I've just been blessed with so many people. You've been one of the blessings in my life. You know, ever since you graduated, kids have emulated what you did as a captain. My parents, my family, my teachers, my coworkers, my friends. Without them, I would have never gotten to where I'm at today in as good a shape, positivity-wise, as I can. You know, the thing that I challenge people is there lives in each of us a hero that's waiting the call to action. Every single one of us can be a difference maker to somebody else in our life. I just encourage you to make that phone call, send that text, send that email, encourage somebody, just one person. If you just encourage one person each and every day, you're going to get 365 people that you've been a difference maker to in the course of a year.
I think that's so important and so true. You can make a difference, even if it may seem small to you. It's huge for someone else. And when I come to some of your photo shoots to do the team and individual photos, I started saying to the athletes while we're getting the team photo set up, you're not only representing your school with the name, but you're also representing yourself and your family. And you want to put on, you know, the best performance you can and always put your best foot forward, even if you're not having a great day. And I think that's so important. So I got to ask also, are you still involved with the American Heart Association?
Yeah, I am. Ebenezer Elementary School continues to crush it every year. Used to be called Jump Rope for Heart. Now it's called Kids Heart Challenge. And it's our way of making a difference for people that suffer from heart disease. So we tell the kids three things. Hey, we got three goals here. One, make your own heart stronger. Two, save people's lives. And three, have fun. And we just finished our 26th annual Kids Heart Challenge, used to be known as Jump Rope for Heart. We set a new school record this year, over $54,000 coming just from Ebenezer Elementary School. And in our 26 years, that takes us to $792,000. So in another 4 or 5 years, we're going to hit that $1 million level, and it's going to be party time.
That'll be great. Yeah, we'll have to have you back on for that. And do you see any other books in your future? Do you think you'll ever write a second, a follow-up, or...
So I got 5 years till I retire from teaching, and I might keep coaching at that point, but I think that will be a great time to write a second book. And I think it's going to be more along the lines of a coaching perspective and just sharing story after story of some of you guys and just how coaches can be the best that they can be and just some of the life lessons that I've learned from the teams that I've coached, from my assistant coaches, and from watching other coaches in the field do what they do so well.
Well, Coach, you can definitely retire from teaching, but I hope you continue to coach. as I would love for my kids, and maybe one day, you know, for you to coach them. I think that would be phenomenal.
That would be
a great experience. Anything I missed that you'd like the listeners to know?
I just really appreciate you having me on here today, Austin. It's been great talking with you, and hopefully we made a difference in some people's lives today.
Awesome. Well, Rob Bear on the American Grown podcast in the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.